Hey everyone, well, welcome back to another episode of Those Conspicuous Millennials. My name is Terrence Blunt, and it has been a hot minute since I've been here to discuss some of my thoughts and move on forward. And so, of course, without going into anything, that's super apologetic, it is interesting to me of just the battle of consistency. Ugh, I know there's been a lot going on. I'm sure many of you as well have been struggling with the whole work from home phenomenon. I know for me, it's been a blessing, but also it can be a slight curse here and there as well. And so what I mean by that is it's a blessing that I'm in a situation and where I can work from home, that luckily I have the means, the resources, and the type of job that allows for that. And then a little bit of the curse, of course, is just regarding around, you know, balancing family, not knowing when work kind of begins and ends, arguably. And so I really had to go through several different measures and figure out a way to moderate just how I work forward. And honestly, it's been a very difficult path. I certainly want to be very clear here. This is something that I thought would be relatively easy given my prior experiences, but nothing could really truly prepare for me to really work from home and get my mind right here. And so the quicker that I came to the conclusion that I really do need to organize a little bit differently, that what has worked for me in the past will not necessarily be applied here, the quicker I came to the conclusion of not only what's going to work best for me, but help yield the results that I'm looking for. So I think I found it, I'm happy to say. And so I'm going to try doing this new method and moving on. And maybe a little bit of something else that I can give you that you may find a bit intriguing on your end is I am going to do a combination of using the MacBook that I have along with my phone, using these tools only. I should probably go ahead and silence speaking of tools so I don't have these pings and everything else happening. That's just basic 101. So certainly I would be advised to make sure to do not disturb it. So I'm going to do that now for an hour here. But anyway, I digress. Okay, so definitely different tools, different setups, but I will say that this has put me on a good path and I'm really happy to be back. I feel a bit refreshed and I'm excited. So with that, let's go ahead and talk about what the title is, which is Thanksgiving Plans in 2020. And mind you, you already know what's happening. On my end, just to be clear here, I've got that Basement IPA from Scofflaw Brewing, Basement Indian Pale Ale, here locally in Atlanta. So I don't personally drink too much, but every now and then a good social outing or having a cold one from home, I really do enjoy. So I'm trying to still have that experience of where I try new things, but since I'm not traveling anywhere near what I used to travel, I have to make sure I can kind of find those within home. So that's what I'm doing that is helping gravitate. That's not exactly the appropriate choice I was looking for, but just level set with my expectations, trying new things, kind of helping me feel good about that, but also being responsible. But anyways, without further ado, so let's get into it. The main question here that I'm asking, I'm posing to you all, and I would love to hear from you, so please shout out at me at Twitter. Nonetheless, should we be celebrating with family and friends this Thanksgiving? And I think, look, the simple answer is yes and no. And so let me explain. I think the first and foremost thing we really need to take a look at is the metrics. And right now, 2,000 Americans died from coronavirus in the last 24 hours, and this is the most since May of this year. And I can't help but to look at these numbers and say, okay, when are we going to get this thing together? I mean, we've been really well prepared for this, and we knew that this was not only going to be a challenge in the beginning, but we knew it was going to be specifically a challenge going into flu season, when the weather gets colder and we have more people indoors. And just to give you a little bit of further insights there without going into too many details, you know, at work, we typically have these big conventions. And I know we were looking at doing this convention in July that is normally in person. And leadership, for whatever reason, kept pushing more and more to have this done in person. And then secondary response is for it to be done digitally. And it was interesting to me, right? Like, wait, why are we thinking that this thing is just going to really cure itself and we're going to be fine in the summer, but not so much in the winter, especially after the first 4 to 6 weeks, where we can see that we're just not making appropriate decisions as a nation. I mean, we don't even have appropriate leadership here. And so I know for some of you, you may be pro-Trump, and that's fine. Everybody certainly has their opinions here. But let's just be clear here. This man hasn't attended the task force, the Corona task force, in months. And I mean, we're talking over 5 months here. And it's clearly our viewpoint is Americans. And just to go ahead and draw another line here, if you are listening and you're not from America, let me apologize for my nation to you. We're really not making appropriate decisions. We're not making smart decisions at all. And when I hear people argue that this is some sort of government control and this sort of thing here, it just makes me raise an eyebrow and question humanity. Like, can we make it? Look, this is one of the easiest tasks that we have been asked to do. And I know I'm going on a tangent here, but I promise you I'll tie it in. But look, I mean, we've had, our forefathers, even some of us who relatives, chances are that you may have known at some point in your lifetime. They were around during wartime, and they were asked to do things specifically, like whether it was go help out at a local factory, if they had to go into the draft to go to war, whatever the situation may be. And my generation, I mean, we've been prompted here by technology to have the easiest lifestyle. Uber Eats will deliver your food to you while you Netflix and chill right there on the couch. You don't have to lift a finger or do anything. So all the essentials, everything's laid out, and yet 1 to 2 weeks, we lose our minds. And so I'm just like, can we not collectively get this together? And then to drive that point home with more data, the United States reports nearly 200,000 new coronavirus cases as more than 1,500 people die daily. Again, this is just absurd. And so right now we have more than 82,100 people are currently hospitalized with COVID-19 across the country, which is more than at any point since the pandemic began. And by the way, I will put a couple, I would say, like trusted sources and whatnot within the show notes that you're more than welcome to view on your own, because as always, while I will try to have a very open and intelligent and thoughtful approach to anything I say, I've never take my word at full value. I think you truly do have to look at the data and see some things yourselves and come around to some of those decisions. But I wanted to talk about those a bit because I feel like those are really important. And so back to the Thanksgiving point, knowing the data that's ahead of you, knowing a little bit of our past struggles, knowing the type of leadership that we have here in the United States, or even look at your own country, you might be in a very similar boat. One thing that I'm very curious is, college students in particular. So many college students are going to head home this Thanksgiving lacking COVID-19 test. This is absurd. Again, I remember hearing testing was going to be, an easy thing to do. Again, thinking United States, this is going to be an easy thing to do back in the spring, going into summer. And while it has improved, admittedly, and that is a good thing, the problem is the combination of the cost, the resources, and then for you to easily get in and get out to get these testing done. So if you want one done within 24 hours, that is still a very difficult opportunity to seize. I found if I wanted to get it done within 48 hours, reasonably, I could do so. Here in North Atlanta, I can just drive a good, 20 miles away, and I can find a drive-through testing where I can get the results the same day. And so again, I'm in a position where I can easily get these tests done because I live in a pretty substantial area. I thankfully have really good insurance, and I have the means to do so and the drive. And so while I can't make any excuses for those people who do have the means, but then just simple reasons for laziness decide not to. I question where the vast majority of America is at. And I don't know if it's, and it could be a combination of these things, but just a couple thoughts. Do people not get tested because they feel like this is still overblown? Do people not do it because it's hard to get to? Is this as a cost issue? And one of the most insidious ones, sometimes people don't do testing because they don't want the results back. And I say that for twofold. Reason number one, they don't want to show an increase in the numbers. I had several people tell me for one reason or another, and I just don't get it. They say, oh, well, I don't want to do any testing because that's going to make our numbers go up. And I'm thinking to myself, that is some crazy nonsense. Like, I really just do not understand where somebody even draws that conclusion. Like, who are you trying to protect? Like, the Trump administration? It just doesn't make any sense. Like, if you feel the need and it crosses your mind that you need to get a test, then do everyone a favor because it's not just for you, it's people around you. And that brings me to the second point of the insidiousness here is that some people just don't want to do the test because they don't want to be quarantined, right? So if they don't do the test because they feel, oh, well, I'm fine and I know it's exposed to a few people, but I feel okay, then it kind of gets them off of the hook, as it were, and they just show up and they think everything's fine, and because they don't have any symptoms, that they're not going to necessarily spread anything. And I mean, the amount of misinformation and disinformation around this topic is just absurd. And again, I have to admit, I do want to go out for Thanksgiving. My family and I, we've decided that between myself, my brother's immediate family, and my cousins, one of their immediate family, the three families are getting together, which I will admit, first and foremost, let me just be clear here, that still is a bit of a risk and one arguably we should not take. And so I understand for somebody that may be listening, we'll throw some heat my way, and I think deservingly so. But what I can tell you is that we are taking different measures here, and I wanted to have that conversation to hear what other people are thinking around this. So let's talk about that. Now, I'm thinking digital celebrations versus in person. So, what should we be doing and what is appropriate here? And so, let me start with the in person one. And so, if it's going to be in person, consider wearing face masks and setting up to eat outside. That is something that we're going to be doing with my family. On top of that, everybody's agreed to go get a COVID test beforehand. Now, here's the risk here. Most of us are getting a COVID test now. It's Saturday, November 21st, right now as I'm recording this. But as you know, Thanksgiving's not till later this upcoming week. And so that's 5 days that anybody can be exposed at any given time. And we are taking a risk because we are relying on other people to A, take the test and be truthful about it, and B, also quarantine themselves. Like right now is not the time to go out and do things. And so to give you an example, I went with my boy Jared Galt. You may have heard him on a prior episode, but nonetheless, him and I went out to Brazelton Brewery, one of my favorite spots. And when we entered there, I looked around and I'm like, holy shit, what are these people doing? I mean, it's so fucking packed inside. And being, of course, a person that's trying to rationalize a few things, I look around and I say, okay, well, there's no way we're gonna eat inside here. Like, this is just completely irresponsible, my Georgians. Like, I don't get it. But I'm down with eating outside. So we chose to go eat outside where there's hardly anybody because it's cold. And I get it. It's cold and it's uncomfortable, but you know what? You know, we made the choice to go. And so if we're gonna stay there and eat, then deal with the freaking cold. And it's interesting to me, some of the different ways that we try to justify what we're doing. But I still couldn't believe my eyes between that and the Chili's that I went to, and I had to place a to-go order. I was looking to eat inside over in Dalton, Georgia, which is way up north. Like, we're literally kissing Tennessee at this point. And I walk over from my hotel to this Chili's and I look, and another one. It was freaking packed. I'm like, what is with my Georgia people? It's like, we give no fucks about this pandemic situation. And I was like, okay, I can't fucking eat here. Like, I'm not gonna go inside that. So I just end up going on the app. I place a to-go order and I just ate it in a hotel room by myself. So I know that might seem a little depressing to some, but you know what? To me, it just seemed to be the smartest thing to do. There, unfortunately, was no way I could really eat outside. They just don't have any tables or anything set up. And again, it was at 39 degrees Fahrenheit at that time. So anyhow, so it just brings me back to the question again. In person, consider wearing the face mask and setting up to eat outside. And if family's going to get together and you have the means to do it, then please go get a test beforehand. And if you are at risk, or you expose to somebody, simply just don't go. Which brings me to the second point, and that's digital celebrations. I think there's a lot that can be done here, and I think we're still undermining this. Now, look, I'm the first person to admit, especially working in L&D, particularly doing what I'm doing here, digital isn't is it just isn't the same. It is a good substitute. It is not a replacement. I think we all can come to terms and agree to this to an extent. But you know, look, man, I don't have any point. And I know I just said, man, like everybody on this listening to this is, a man, but that's not what I'm saying at all. But anyway, work with me here. So, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. I'm like, look, digitally, we can get together, prop up, put it on the TV, get the phone together, get a big tablet, whatever it is, talk to one another, participate with one another, maybe share some different desserts and recipes. There's so many different ways we could do it. And I know originally I was looking to do that myself. I was looking to say, okay, you know what I could do? I can go get some wine and get some of the similar type of foods that everybody would be having. As a matter of fact, we can even do a food trade-off. So I can drop some at their house, take some back with me. We can all collectively call one another and really enjoy this together. Because one thing that doesn't help is that, yes, face masks is great, opening the windows and having outdoors is great, but at some point the masks have to come off to eat. And so I just want to be as responsible as possible. And I will admit, like, this has completely has me beside myself because it really is a combination of these two things. You know, I want to satisfy that urge to get together, but I also want to be responsible and don't want to be somebody who can potentially put another family member at risk. Which, full disclosure, thankfully, I don't have any elderly people on the side of the family coming to the dinner, nor anybody that's at high risk. But we still have to be careful. So I know when we get back, for example, my family, like, we're going to be quarantining. At least I will be. I can't say so for my wife. Her job, seeing that she works in the medical field, is a little bit different, but mine isn't. And for that reason, me and the children will be staying home and staying away. So just a little thought there. But anyway, so I'm curious. I know this is a very quick podcast, a really quick episode, but I really wanted to put that out there and really get some people's thoughts on this entire matter, because I truly understand why some people are beside themselves. And without giving too much detail, but like one other tidbit of information, I have some family members where, grandma wants to come down from South Georgia. They want to meet together. And there was another family member where, outside of the family, one grandmother caught COVID and passed away. And so that particular side of family, I notice, is very hesitant for everybody to get together, right? Which is not the one I'm going to, but again, like a separate but family get together for Thanksgiving. And a couple of the other ones are like, no, like, we need to get together. We don't know how long grandma will be around, right? At least they don't say that out loud, but that's exactly the thoughts. And you can see people really battle with themselves, one another, over whether they want to have this Thanksgiving dinner or not. And I just don't know how we've gotten here. Maybe it's such a selfish thing, myself included, right? That we're willing to put other people at risk because you just want to freaking eat next to somebody else. But at the same time, maybe it does highlight something else that's very interesting with our humanity, that maybe we felt so isolated, that we've been apart for so long, that we are starting to yearn for that connection. We are starting to understand that time is limited. We're not always going to be able to see one another. And maybe this does influence some of that behavior that may seem counterintuitive. But anyway, let me know what you think. So you can always hit me up at Twitter. That is Terrence, Terrance underscore Blunt, but with an O. So I'll spell it for you, Blount. No problem. If you have found this podcast, it would not be difficult for you to find how to spell my name either. But nonetheless, please shoot me, whether it's a message, shout at me on Twitter. I am just very curious to hear what other people are contemplating, what is bringing their family together, maybe even separating when it comes to this whole COVID crisis. So anyways, without further ado, I just want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully many of you decide to have a very smaller one, preferably like inside your own home or with very little interaction. But please, by all means, just be safe. I don't think any of us want anything negative and detrimental on our conscience. Because I can tell you, if somebody were to have passed away because I brought some sort of exposure, that will not rest on my conscience very well at all. And I think that would arguably certainly mess me up a bit in life. So anyway, all right, with that, I'm just going to go ahead without further ado. Thank everybody. Appreciate you. That was another quick little episode of Those Conspicuous Millennials, but I promise you, I will be coming to you a little bit more fast and furiously now. Again, I am going to be playing a lot more with mobile, using less equipment. I still want to play for a little bit to try to make it as catchy and give it some tones and try to make it a little bit more professional. But at the same time, I felt like I've neglected my own aspirations to vocalize and be out there a little bit more often. So anyhow, happy Thanksgiving, and I look forward to talking to you very soon on our next episode.